Continuing our quest to work through Psalm 119, to lift up the Word of God in all of its glory and what has been done for us and our total dependency on the encouragement that we get and the instructions that we get from the Word of God, we're going to continue to read and see how the psalmist shares yet further insight, further encouragement to cherish and honor the Word of God. We'll covering the 8-verse section starting in verse 97. In the New American Standard, it reads, "How I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than those who are old, because I have complied with thy precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way so that I may keep thy word. I have not turned aside from your judgments, for you yourselves have lost my place." I was looking at the screen instead of my Bible. "I have not turned aside from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. For your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." As a psalmist is expressing, again, just what the Word of God means to him, he starts off with an expression of love in verse 97. He says, "How I love thy law." It's not loved as past tense, as though he first discovered it and then it's a done deal, but it's an ever-present love continually. And he uses a comparative word, a descriptive word of how he loves the Word of God. He doesn't say that it's, he just leaves it open-ended to show his expression naturally of just what the Word of God means to him. And, you know, I know the religious man can get in this trap who really doesn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in him, but so can we, that like prayer, is it, or the reading of the Word of God can sometimes be just a duty to where we feel like, you know, I need to have my, you know, my devotion this morning, and it's to where it's just a box we check out, you know, we check off and say, okay, I've read my little section of scripture, my devotion. But, you know, in a believer's heart, we realize it's so much more than that. It's, you know, it's our lifeline. It's our food, our medicine, our light. And we are like the psalmist, where we realize we can't function without it, because we're quickly get on our own path and start giving in to our, what we feel like in our heart. And that we need to constantly be understand that the Word of God, not only is it to be read, but as he says in the next part of that first verse, is that our meditation, to where we think on it throughout the day, of that which we've been taught, that which we read, and ask the Spirit of the Lord to reveal just how it will apply in each step of our day. You know, a summary of some things that just is, again, it's a constant reminder of what the Bible is for us, but a collection of things to remind us of what the Word of God is. I wrote down some things that from other folks, that just a compilation of what the scriptures are for us. It's a letter from our distant father to us. It's a picture of our best and most faithful friend that we have. It's a certificate of our adoption into the family of God. It's the declaration of our liberty and freedom that we have from slavery, the slavery of sin that once held us all. It's a description of our heavenly inheritance. It's the evidence of our nobility in it. It describes us as being made kings and priests by God. It's our instruction manual for wise and blessed living. A statement of our account and even a checkbook for what belongs to us by the promises of God. And finally, it's a telescope through which we see the heavenly city, which is our destination. These are just some kind of thoughts from various people that describe just what the Word of God is to them. And we do well to remind us of that, to remind ourselves of that each day when we pick up the Word of God. He says in verses 98 through 100, he makes these statements. He says his commandments, it's made him wiser than his enemies. It's given more insight than his teachers. And he understands more than the aged. And that almost seems like a boast by the psalmist there, making this kind of statement. But it's not a prideful assertion by the psalmist of his superiority, but rather it's a form of exalting the Lord himself. And how so is that, you know, if you take those three, you take the enemies of God, our enemies, the psalmist's enemies, they know a lot. And we do well to remember that, you know, as it says, the evil one creeps around like a roaring lion, you know, seeking who he can devour. And he's crafty, whether it's as in David or the psalmist, he had these physical enemies ever after him. And maybe we have some of those too. But for sure, the spiritual enemies that are around, they know a lot. They seek traps. They know our vulnerabilities and they're crafty. But their craftiness is no match for God's wisdom. As the psalmist says, he knows more than his enemies. It's because that craftiness is no match for the wisdom given us by God. And our teachers, his teachers, you know, Mark knows a lot. He's taught us a lot, but he'll be the first to tell you that he's not the source of wisdom. And that's the context of which the psalmist says he knows more than his teachers. The same with the elders. We're to learn from those who have lived longer than us. Experience teaches you a lot, and we do well just to quietly listen to the words as they speak. We can garner as much from the wisdom of the aged. But in all those three categories, what he's saying is they're not the source of my wisdom. They're not the source of our understanding. You know, the Word of God is, and that's why he makes that statement. It makes him going to the source. You know, it's we have now a direct source with the Word given to us, to where we can give the source of all wisdom given to our teachers, our elders, you know, those around us. And that's where he makes that statement. And we notice how that works as we read in Book of Acts, for instance, I think it was chapter 4, where Peter and John starts going out preaching the gospel message, and the people around look at them and they say, who are these uneducated and untrained men sharing these truths with us? And yet they marveled at their wisdom. It's because their wisdom, their source of their understanding, it came from God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. In verse 101 and 102, when he talks about how he restrained his feet from the evil ways so that he can keep his word, and that he didn't turn aside, he have not turned aside from thy judgments, for God himself has taught me. The thought there is that, you know, we can have this source of wisdom, but an application is to tell you that where that source can be ineffective is if we cannot have that great source of wisdom at our disposal and yet have it without letting go that which that sin that restrains, that can go unrestrained in our life, there'll be in conflict. And the psalmist says he's restrained that in his life. He's put that aside so that he can keep the word. There is an ever constant battle with a sin slipping in to cause us to the ineffectiveness of the Word of God in our life. We need to be ever present of that. We can't treasure up the Holy Word without casting out unholiness. Can't keep the good word. To keep the good word, we must let go of the evil, the sin. The personal connection that we have through God and his word, it's what energizes our walk. It's what energizes us to turn away from evil and turn to the word of God. And when he says in 102 that God himself has taught him, you know, he is not like some people today even think that them and God. You know, Bridget and I were talking this morning about how when we challenged Amber, it's been a while back, but when we challenged Amber about, look, you need fellowship. You need to be with the brethren. You need, you know, it's a built-in mechanism that God has for us to be with one another in reading the word together and encouraging one another. You cannot be, God does not design us to be solo Christians, you know, unless he puts us on the island of Patmos and tells us that, you know, we're going through with John. We're in this world together, and he designed us to be with one another, to encourage one another, to work out those things with one another in our sanctification. And, you know, we are called to, he's not saying that this eliminates the need for those gifted that God has given to the church as teachers. It does point us to the scripture, the word. It says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide us into all truth. He does guide us, but he guides us together. He's not saying that this eliminates the need for the brethren. But it does say, like John 16:13 says, that the Spirit guides us into those truths. And then in verse 103, he declares once more how sweet the words are, the word of God is. It's sweeter than honey to his mouth. You know, time spent in the word of God, it should not be an unpleasant duty to us, but rather a sweet experience. He says, he uses that word again, how I love thy law. It's the same way he expressed it in that verse, how I love thy word, expressing it like he did at first in the first part of the word of God when he said, how I love thy law. And I guess, you know, I try to challenge my own thoughts in each of these sections is that, you know, spending time in God's word, how do I compare that to other things that push my buttons, to other pleasures of the world? Is the word of God as sweet to me as it is something else that would draw my excitement, you know? And it's amazing when you think about the psalmist. I mean, he had what, the books of five books of Moses and maybe a few more books. And yet it's recorded how much riches and sweetness is that he found in the word of God. And we have so much more at our disposal. And if it's not sweet to us, I guess my question is, you know, is like, is there something to be said about our appetite? Again, Bridget and I were talking about, you know, first ourselves, and then, you know, we have our own struggles of dryness times. We realize that. And then we look around, have to constantly encourage those that even have less than us, you know, and that within our family, you know, we were talking about our kids and the ones that we don't see that hunger, either the fellowship of the body or the study of the word of God. There's not the sweetness there as it is as honey to them. And if there's something wrong with your appetite, then there's something wrong with your spiritual condition, you know? Proverbs 27, verse 7 says, a full soul loathes honey, but to the hungry soul, even bitter things are sweet. And that's the deal. And bottom line is that, you know, if our soul and our heart and our mind is full, so already so full of other things, other activities, then of course the word is not going to be sweet. You already got your plate full, your palate full, you know, can't taste anything else with your mouth so full of everything else. And so, you know, it's a challenge to us, and it's words we need to challenge other people with. And our kids that Bridget and I were talking to, it's like, you know, if we don't see them in the word of God or desire for the word of God, then there's a problem with the appetite there, you know. They need to encourage one another. Again, that's where the word of God fits in to to our appetites, that we need to be craving it. And finally, in verse 104, couple comments about that is that he makes a contrast, he makes a comparison, a therefore. He says, so that's where he gets under his understanding from, the word of God. And the conclusion is, therefore, I hate every false way. And that's kind of interesting how he puts those two together. But what the understanding gained from the word of God has done to the psalmist, as it should do to us, it gives us discernment. It allows us to recognize the things that God loves and the things that God hates. And what it should also do is garnish within us that same type of mindset. There are things that God loves, we begin to love. There are things that God hates, we begin to hate. You know, and make no mistake about it, our Christian life is not all sweetness. You know, it's not all resting in meadows of in our walk, you know, but we travel as a pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. There are some times we find ourselves in those sweet meadows, but then there's the Sloughs of Despond. There's the Vanity Fairs. There's the places that we travel that we just despise that in our life, and that we recognize those who are just nothing more than out to get us off our journey, off our path. And even they're even advocating that for us. And that not only are they themselves choosing that path, but they're trying to teach others to take that same shortcut in those areas. And so we begin to hate that when we see that and recognize that. And that's what the word of God is. As the psalmist says, we get understanding to recognize those things. And the Spirit of God causes us to love more the things that God loves and despise the things that God despises. You know, sometimes that you hear, if you talk to those out there, you will hear them make statements. So when you try to preach, you know, the fullness of God's character, and you preach about his judgment, and sometimes you have to speak of things that God hates and he's going to judge in those sins. And the reply that you often get is, you know, God's a God of love. He doesn't hate, you know. And our response is simply this: no, if God is a God of love, he must hate. He must hate. You know, you can't say that, you know, the examples given, you can't say that you love the Jews and not hate the Holocaust, what happened there. You can't say that you love children and not hate abortion. You know, of course there's hatred poured out against the things that are against God's holiness. You can't love the Ukrainians and not hate what Putin's doing right now. You know, there's a passion that goes along with the things that God, you know, that God loves and God hates. Our passions follow suit in that because we've been given the Spirit of God within us. It transforms our mind, our heart, even our emotions, to where we line ourselves up with the things that God loves and God hates. And for us Christians, thank God we have the Word of God to instruct us as to what to do with such feelings. You know, without the Spirit of God, yes, there's unbelievers that hate those things too, believe it or not. There's unbelievers that even hate abortion. There's unbelievers that really hate what you going on in Ukraine, and that if given the chance, they would just go wild and kill everybody in their sight. I can tell you there's times when I would say without the Spirit of God, there's things that rise up in me that I would be a mercenary out there if God has not given me his Holy Spirit. I'd be a sniper somewhere seeing how many of them I could take off. I can tell you, I would. I really would. As the things that I see in this world, especially as you start to have children and grandchildren, and you read about these perpetrators, these perverts that do these things, it like boils within you. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God has to restrain that within us and direct what he would have us do. And there is, you know, there is the things that we do. And then we become intercessors in prayer. We become, you know, we don't turn a blind eye and say, you know, oh, well, God, you know, God will deal with it. Well, you know, there's things he has us do. But thank God, again, we have this Word of God to instruct us through all of this. Even after we recognize the good and the evil, it gives us wisdom for how to navigate in these crazy times, in these waters, you know. And that, again, this morning, I'm thanking God that we have this Word of God as our source of ultimate wisdom to direct our steps, and that we pray and intercede on behalf of others, and to and for our own steps as we journey in this pilgrimage. So again, this is just another section of the Word of God, how the psalmist exalts the Word of God, and rightfully so. And we thank him again this morning for what it does on our behalf for us. So that's the 8-verse section in 103 in Psalm 119 this morning. And so I did want to leave some time of specific prayer. And, you know, I've got a couple of things that I'd like to lift up to the Lord this morning. Is one is that, you know, for you catch glimpses, it's hard to get the truth for the, you know, through the wicked media that's out there. So, so wicked. Talking about that temptation to want to take some people out and people that's just spreading. Can you imagine the judgment of God on those who are reaching millions with lies every day? It just hurts my heart so much. And so it's hard to get the truth of what's going on, even in the world today, with that crazy media. But anyway, what I want to lift up, what's going on in Ukraine, for instance, there are those, you know, that you can catch glimpses of people in the church gathering together to just fall before the Lord and asking for mercy to raise up somebody to come in and put an end to this onslaught of what's going on for them. But for the sake of those people there, I'd like to pray and on behalf of our, just asking the Lord to show mercy and intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters over there. And then on a specific individual, I mentioned to Tom that I'd Lord kind of pricked my heart to go Tuesday over to the abortion clinic. They had already gone. I got there a little bit late. They still had a few folks trickling in as far as patients go. But the escorts were still there, and, you know, and the business was still going on. And the one other time I met over there, there was one of those two evil escorts that's a little less vocal in her evil duties and a little more observant of those around. I don't know an easy way of saying it without giving any more or any less to what's going on in her character. But anyway, she remembered me, she recognized me, and I recognized her. And immediately the Lord, as soon as I got there, brought us face to face with one another. And the Lord gave me an opportunity to share. And she was incredibly just at least receptive to allow me to have a face-to-face conversation probably for 15 straight minutes. And we went back and forth of, as I told Tom, we kind of had to cut off rabbit trails as I would challenge her thinking on what she was doing over there, you know, under the disguise of helping these poor women, you know, cutting off her misunderstanding, her lies that she bought into Satan as to why she thinks she's doing some good. But anyway, for about 15 minutes, just cutting back to the truth of the matter and using the Word of God as saying, no, it doesn't matter what you and I think. It doesn't matter what your heart tells you, if you're doing good or not good. This Word of God is the standard of whether we're doing good or not good. And what you're doing is evil, according to not me, because my thoughts don't matter, but according to the Word of God, you're not helping these women. You're causing more condemnation on them and yourselves, and you're taking a life. And anyway, that the arguments that we know to be true, the Lord allowed that time for back and forthness for about 15 minutes. And I like to pray for her. I actually left her with a gospel booklet again, and I'm sure she's received bunches through the course of time. But thank God for that opportunity. And, you know, the Holy Spirit can change lives one at a time. And you know, what Tom and does out there constantly and what others do is just, our job is just to plant seeds, and we pray for the growth, you know, change hearts. But anyway, I thank God for that. Her name is Casey. And I'd like to pray for her that some of the truth that she's heard for so long over there would spring up, and that it would be one less person they have helping them with their work, because they don't have a lot of, as what she was telling me, I want to ask her why she's still doing this, is because, you know, one of the reasons she gave, other than in thinking she's helping these women, is that there's not that many willing to do what they're doing. Well, that's a good thing from my perspective, is that I'm glad. I hope there's one less after the Lord deals with her. So anyway, I want to lift her up and pray the Lord would convict her of the wickedness that she's helping with, because there was a little curiosity, at least in her words. May the Lord build on that. So anyway, that's my two requests this morning, is things going on in Ukraine, for God to show great mercy, and then for Casey. And so, usually I've been leaving things, for as we do on the second section, to lift up prayer requests too. But I just, in this part, I just leave it open, lifting up other things as well is fine. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and just thank him for his word simply. And that's my two requests this morning. And anybody like to pray, go ahead. I'll close this.
Lord, thank you so much for your righteous Holy Spirit at work within us, around us, working to bring all things to your glory, bring all things to the good of those who love and serve you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity for the saints to be gathered this morning.
Yes.
Thank you for the teaching of your word, Lord. Thank you for the psalmist's love of your law.
Yes.
Thank you for the call to not only love it, but to live it out in our daily lives. Praise you for the testimony of the saints, Mr. Tom and Zoe, for this week, Mr. Todd going out and meeting with this woman. Lord, we read that the preaching, the teaching, the reading, the hearing of your word will not return void, Lord.
Yes.
We pray that even as Mr. Tom stands on the street and speaks in loud voice, your word permeates the walls and the windows of that building, Lord. We pray that hearts would be stirred.
Yes.
Definitely pray that lives would be saved, Lord, but we pray ultimately, Lord, that new lives would be created, Lord, saints created in your image.
Yes.
We have an intimate knowledge and relationship with you. They would then go and share the message that they've heard, Lord.
Yes.
Perhaps some of the most unique situations, not attending a service, but sequestered in a building separated from preachers just outside, speaking your word and speaking your truth, Lord. Thank you for this woman, Casey, Lord. Specifically, Lord, for the time that you've given Mr. Todd with her. Seeing with her many months ago, Lord, and just giving the two of them even hours to speak, Lord. You called that experience to her recollection when she saw Mr. Todd, that she didn't flee, Lord, but that she actually even sought out early conversation with him, Lord. And Mr. Todd had the opportunity to witness to her, to love her, to share your word with her, Lord, share a track with her, Lord, that I pray that even right now your spirit would call her attention, call her inclination to go and find that, to read through it, Lord, start asking questions. Pray for her soul, Lord. We pray for a vacancy of that position that would make the work, air quotes, work of that, what goes on in that building, completely void. There would not be enough people to staff it, but it would just completely go away, Lord. But ultimately, Lord, we're praying for the changing of hearts, that people would not be inclined or desire to do those things, because they would desire to love and glorify you.
Yeah.
Lord, we pray for this conflict that is going on overseas, Lord. Obviously, do not know all the politics or all the history or the many things, Lord, but war is often definitely, even when you're not directly involved, Lord, it is definitely very hard to watch or to hear the stories or to see the things that come out of it, Lord.
Yes.
We pray for the Christians of Ukraine and Russia, Lord. We pray that you would give them a safe, Lord. We would give them a testimony, we would give them the salt and the light to share in these difficult circumstances, Lord.
Yes.
As we hear heartwarming and touching stories also of the president visiting people in hospitals or whatever, Lord, we pray that these seemingly good stories would not be lost in the greater story of the sacrifice and the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Salvation would come to people, Lord, not just smiles and healing, but there would be a true ultimate reconciliation with their God and their Creator, Lord. Thank you so much for the testimony of the saints worldwide, Lord. We thank you so much for the testimony of the saints of GBF and that we have the opportunity to gather in your name this morning.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. Blessed Father, we do thank you for your holy word this morning, Lord. This privilege that we have to look into your word, to receive instructions, to read about the will of our Father, and our inheritance, our promises fulfilled, the ones yet to come that will be fulfilled. We thank you for leaving us, Lord, with these instructions and to know you. And Father, we are debtors in your courts, and we thank you that you have showed such grace and mercy upon each one of us here. You have granted us and left us with your Holy Spirit, which burns within us with a greater love for thee, things of God, and our passion is stirred both towards the things you love and towards the things you hate. Father, with our voices, we lift up the burdens of our hearts to you, Lord, specifically. I'm asking, as was already petitioned, Lord, that this Casey, Father, that you would do a work and prick her heart, cause her to see what it is that she is doing for what it is, according to your definition, Lord. Taking something sacred away that does not belong to them is what's going on behind those doors, Lord of life. Oh, Lord, may you be pleased to work in Casey's mind and her heart to change those thought patterns, to wake her up by your Holy Spirit to see it for what it is, oh, Lord. Call her out of such wicked activity, Father. Draw her to yourself for your glory. That there be one more transformed life that gives witness to those around of how you're the giver of life, not the taker away of life, as those that are trafficking in this arena are doing. Do a work there, Father. I pray for all the seeds that have been planted by all these men and women who have gone to this place and spoken forth the word. May it please you to cause hearts to be broken, both by the patients and those aiding in this evil work, Lord. Cause growth to come out of these voices that have shared and planted these seeds, I pray, this morning. And Father, for what is going on in our world, Father, on a massive scale, it is not anything any bigger for you to do a great work in an entire country, in an entire continent, even in an entire world, than it is to do a great work in one individual heart. It is a small thing for you, Father, to bring about one action that would stem the tide of evil and cause revival to break forth. We ask that from you, Father, that a great act of mercy would take place in Ukraine, Father. A great act of mercy to protect our brothers and sisters there. Great acts of mercies to stem the tide of this evil taking place, O Lord. Use instruments, Father, use instruments to turn back the tide of this evil, Father. Even as you use those who don't know you, be pleased to use who you may, Father, for the sake of your name and your word, for the sake of your mercy and loving kindness, which has been showed upon us, and your patience and your long suffering. May it please you, Father, for the sake of our children and our children's children, that they might see the hand of God and point back to a time where you did a work and pointed the hurricane, the storm in another direction of your coming wrath and caused it to be yet called to be held back for a bit longer. Oh, Father, we intercede as high priest before you on these accounts. And whatever it is you would have us do throughout the course, direct our steps, Lord, whether through prayer or giving of our time or resources. May we be willing to do whatever it is that our master would have us do in this endeavor. And may it be ever present in our mind that what we do, we do to serve on the side of the victor, on the side of our King. Thank you for this morning, Father. Hear our prayers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.